I'm Frank Vaughn. It's June 27, 2025, and we have to start today with breaking news at this hour. The ongoing reports and questions surrounding where my hair went. A lot of people keep asking that question, and the truth of the matter actually is, I cut the ponytail off, and it's become this game in the house where my wife hides it, I find it, then I hide it, and then she finds it, and then the kids are hiding it, and they find it. So that's literally where the hair went. But I might have to grow it back for all of you because it does seem the consensus is that you miss it. Now, in the past, I have not taken care of the hair the way that needs to be taken care of. I'm enjoying the break from having long hair. I've often said I wish it was a wig. I could just take it off and then put it on. But I couldn't live with myself if I was wearing a wig. So, at any rate, the hair may make a comeback. First up, we have to begin with a paywall, and this is to an article, and the title of the article is Steep Rise in Hate Towards South Asians in Canada Documented Through Social Media Posts, particularly towards the former NDP leaders, even former at this stage. Has Jagmeet Singh even quit yet? Former NDP leader Jagmeet Singh. Now, the definition of hate is just criticism. You're not allowed to criticize anybody who's a visible member of a minority group, even if the criticisms are justified. When we look at criminal trends, we look at how many people are involved in drug trafficking that have the last name Singh. We talk about Brampton men driving trucks, the minefield that driving Highway 11 or Highway 7 in Northern Ontario has become because we're giving commercial driver's licenses out like they're candy, and we're allowing trucking companies with no oversight to give them out. Often to people who are brought into the country who can't even speak the language, let alone read the signs on our streets. All of these things that I'm talking about are likely part of the rise in hate. Now, is that hate or is that just criticism? Setting that aside for a minute, I just want to talk about the paywalls. The Toronto Star paywalls. Here's another one. TTC and GO Transit rides from Rogers Stadium will be free for concert goers all summer, Olivia Chow and Doug Ford announced. What a great announcement from the government of Ontario. Ontario is sinking in a hole. But if you can afford the outrageous ticket prices to attend any of these events, they're here to let you know that you'll be able to ride transit for free. What a ridiculous idea. But again, I get distracted because Ontario is just a wellspring of ridiculosity, a word I just made up. It's this paywall that really bothers me. Do you guys have a guess? And I really want you to form a number in your head, just a guess of how much money you believe the Toronto Star gets in government subsidy through the various programs that have come into being under the Liberal Party that subsidize our mainstream media. Just take a second. How much do you think on a weekly basis they get? $115,000 a week. And they have the audacity to put a paywall in front of us. And now it says only a dollar for 6 months. Save $167 now. That means their normal price for 6 months of access to their digital news, this isn't even a print edition, this is for the digital edition of their paper, is $168, which adds up to $376 off the top of my head, hopefully my math is good, per year to have access to their digital news media. I think there should be, in this country, with all of the various legal protections that the mainstream media enjoys and all the subsidy that they enjoy, if you take public money, you become a publicly accessible company. There shouldn't be paywalls. They've got everything paywalled at the Toronto Star. They don't even give you free articles anymore. You get a headline, and if you click X, it just kicks you to their front page. The audacity. But let's get away from my terrible off-the-top-of-the-head math for a minute and go back to real math plaguing Ontario. This is an article that says, Ontario home construction is tanking while other provinces are booming when numerous forthcoming condo and townhouse projects are going into receivership and dozens more have been deferred until buyers start showing more interest. You know the real estate market is struggling. And that's the state the Toronto area has been stuck in for months. Tariffs and the recession, there are no, a separate issue here is what people, like, these articles all blame the wrong things for the problems in Ontario. So we're not even going to, I don't want to get distracted. I want to talk about the housing market in Ontario and the perfect storm. Ontario Housing Market Report, this is from April of 2025, talking about the average prices. Look at this chart. Everything is flat. It's barely correcting. There's very little demand. Nobody can afford to pay the high prices. Many people are locked in at high prices and can't afford to get out, taking $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 losses. And if you look at real estate transactions in Toronto, you'll see that some of those sales are literally that far underwater. Who can afford that? Only very wealthy people who can afford the write-downs and are maybe looking for losses. But the average person who's just trying to struggle along can't do that. So Ontario is facing a net inflow of people, the same problem that they've always had, large-scale migration into Ontario. There was only, I think it's, I don't know if it's in this article or it was another one I was reading, there's only 5,500 housing starts per month on average right now. They need to be building 2 million homes. Whatever happened to Carney's, we're going to build 5,000 homes, what was it, a week or a month? Like, it was some absurd figure. They need 2 million homes. They're only experiencing 5,500 housing starts. At the same time as prices are flat, barely declining, and there's very little interest in the real estate market. Ontario's in trouble, folks. Saving money on the TTC and public transit, it's not going to save anybody. Before we move on to what I think will be the most important subject matter in this video, I just want to talk about this interesting sideshow. Marty up north is in a battle with Rational Posts. If anybody isn't on Twitter, you won't know what I'm talking about. All I want to focus on is this sentence here. Tim Hortons was a proud Canadian institution ruined by bad liberal policies and out of control immigration. That's true to a degree, but this isn't a critique of Marty. This is a critique of Tim Hortons. They suck. They're terrible. They're the worst. You should boycott them. They're owned by a foreign company. They hire nothing but TFWs. The government may have changed the policy, but they decided to take advantage of it. Their product has been in perpetual decline ever since they are, as Marty has noted, was past tense, proud Canadian institution. They are no longer that. They're owned by Brazilians. They suck. They're the worst. You should make your own coffee. You shouldn't support any of these, whether it's McDonald's or Starbucks or anybody else. You should be promoting local, going local, because these people are literally preventing your kids from getting jobs, preventing people from getting jobs. Because let's be honest, some people need to work two or three jobs just to live in some poor rental in these places, and they can't get jobs because they're being displaced. I read a post from somebody I trust the other day about they saw a Sikh worker in a local small town Alberta grocery store. And they struck up a conversation because they were curious about how they ended up in Canada and what their backstory was, because sometimes people are just curious about backstories. Turns out the guy was in India. He saw an ad, a help wanted ad for the grocery store in India. And he reached out and responded to it, and all the arrangements were made to get him from India over here to work in that grocery store, displacing yet another Canadian worker. None of these corporations deserve your support. They're literally killing this country, and they're doing it with official government support. You should leave them all behind. Being a rational Canadian and understanding what's good for a country, I can't help but look upon the United States with a great amount of envy these days. In spite of any criticisms that I sometimes level against the president or against the U.S. government, I very much, and it should be clear from my work, I very much admire the Constitution and the vast majority of the work they're trying to do down there. Homan reveals ICE rescuing migrant children trafficked to pedos under Biden, lives apart from wife due to death threats. That's the headline. There's a lot in that headline. I think we're just going to read through this article. President Donald Trump's border czar, Tom Homan, revealed that ICE has rescued migrant children sex trafficked under the Biden administration, while noting he's been separated from his wife due to death threats tied to enforcing Trump's immigration policies. There were 300,000 missing children under the last administration, Holman told Miranda Devine's Pod Force One podcast. We rescued victims of sex trafficking 2 weeks ago. We rescued a 14-year-old that was already pregnant, living with adult men. We rescued some victims of forced labor. We found children working on ranches and chicken farms, not going to school, but enslaved labor in the United States of America. This is just one example of the problem that the Trump administration is trying to solve. This is a problem that has been endemic in the United States for a long time and needs a solution. Now, there are people like Joe Rogan who says Trump's ICE raids are effing nuts. We have to remember that Joe is a liberal at heart. He is more than happy to play the whole gender game and honor people's pronouns and play into the delusions. He's also very soft. He doesn't seem to understand that solving illegal immigration in the United States is, it's like a war. And it might be the most important war the United States ever fights, because it's going to determine whether they're a nation or not. And that war is largely centered in Joe Rogan's former stomping grounds, Los Angeles, California. These are major and big moves that are happening in the United States. And underlying all of this is mass-scale human trafficking. It's not just the children. It's the adults, too. Cartels making big money smuggling people across the border and into the United States. Foreign nations, literally, this isn't some rhetoric of Donald Trump, emptying their jails and allowing those criminals to march right into the United States for the past 4 years and even before that. If the United States is to have a prosperous future, it has to get a rein on this, and it ain't going to look pretty. It's like a war. And in war, people suffer on both sides, as Holman says. Can't even see his wife because he's under such threat. And what's the man doing? Breaking up these rings? Actually dealing with human trafficking? Kicking out illegals that shouldn't be there? Rounding up criminals and sending them home, but also deporting? By the way, it's not just violent offenders and gang members that need to be deported. If you enter the United States illegally, you are unlawfully there, and you should be deported. Another headline, Trump plans mass dismissal of asylum claims, fast-tracking deportation. The Trump administration is preparing to dismiss asylum claims for potentially hundreds of thousands of migrants, primarily those who cross the southern or northern, re-Canada, borders illegally and later applied for protection, according to CNN, citing two sources. Once dismissed, those migrants would become immediately deportable under fast-track removal procedures bypassing immigration court. Trump's got less than 4 years now, because we're at the six-month point of the presidency. Maybe it's 5 months. We're just past the five-month point. So he's got 3.5 years left to deal with a 12 to 20 million person problem. And again, if they don't deal with it, and they don't deal with it quick, America's not going to be a country. This is exactly the kind of thing that should be going on in Canada. We should be slowing down immigration. We should be deporting criminals right out the gate. We shouldn't be letting them in the first place. And we should stop importing dependents. Canada has a cartel problem. It has a crime problem. We've talked about that on this channel. Also has a mass immigration problem. But it's honestly, the United States illegal immigration problem is the worst in the world. And they have to get it under control. Continuing with this theme, who counts? Trump poised to try and remove non-citizens from census. Following a years-long surge in illegal immigration, the Trump administration is poised to challenge a longstanding but legally fraught practice counting illegal aliens in the U.S. Census. President Trump tried to end the practice during his first term, but President Biden overturned his predecessor's policy before it was implemented. This is something that people note often about the Trump administration and the very good things that they are doing on the domestic front. You can be supportive of people doing right things at the same time as you can critique them. And this is one of the issues that I have with Donald Trump, is that anytime anybody critiques him, he just goes on the offensive and on the attack, whether it was Elon Musk or other members of MAGA who questioned the big, beautiful bill. He just went on assault, and I hate to see that. But at the same time, I can recognize that the vast majority of the things that he's trying to do are very necessary if we're going to not only have a strong United States moving into the future, but a strong North America, which is something that I am very interested in. But if the Republicans can't hang on to power moving forward, if elections are not made fair, if things are not put back on the level and on the square, people are going to be like, oh, that's Masonic language. It's really not. It's carpentry language. But at any rate, I digress. If they can't put things on an even keel, they're not going to have a chance in the future. They ran into the same problem between 2016 and 2020 when the entire administration got bogged down. And then through 2020, all the bad decisions that came out of the, was it even the Biden White House or was it the Otto Penn White House? These are things that can't be allowed to happen again, which is why he's moving so quickly. Another headline, Supreme Court slaps down activist judges in birthright citizenship LGBTQ schoolbook cases. The hits keep coming out of the Supreme Court as a second Friday opinion just backed religious parents opposed to LGBTQ schoolbooks, also in a 6-3 vote along ideological lines. Man, the envy that I have as a Canadian parent looking at these decisions and these things happening in the United States. There is something called a norm. Normative human behavior, the things that built Western civilization, were a man, a woman, and children. And I'm not saying that you can't live outside of that norm, but we have moved so far away from not just being tolerant of other lifestyles, but directly assaulting the norms that underpin society in favor of the hedonism that underpins so much of the acronym brigade that comes after the LGB part. Anything that comes after starts getting kind of weird. And that's all right. That's what you're into. But we shouldn't be promoting it to society. We shouldn't be promoting it to kids. We shouldn't be promoting this gender ideology nonsense. And if we are going to promote it in public schools, parents should have the right. Look, you have, as a parent, you have a legal liability for your child if they do something wrong. You can be sued in civil court for their actions. You are responsible for feeding them. You're responsible for housing them. You're responsible for looking after them at your own cost. And I mean that, and I've said this before, that cost is nominal compared to what you get at it. It's the best relationship you're ever going to have in your life. It's the best experience you're ever going to have in your life. But at the same time, the state, which you pay for, wants to take your kids and put them in these ideological institutions called public schools. And they want to educate them in things that you may disagree with without your knowledge or your consent. And then if you do find out and you want to oppose it, they want to have legal power to deny you the right to choose how your children are raised. In the United States, at least, they're heading in the direction of parental rights. Now, the Saskatchewan Party here in the province of Saskatchewan, they made a lot of promises about parents having more rights in the last election. I wait to see how that's going to transpire, because parents should be in the driver's seat. If parents are not abusing their children, if they're not beating them, they keep them fed and they keep them well, and they love them, they should be the ultimate arbiters of how they are raised. That's how we built civilization, was the family unit, the nuclear family, a man, a woman, and children. It's the bedrock. It's the most economically productive arrangement. And it's not just about economics. It's also just demographic stability. People are afraid to have children for so many different reasons. We're basically programmed to think that having children and being in stable monogamous relationships is the literal worst thing ever, in spite of the fact that it's the best. Finding a partner and moving through life together as a unit, having children, it just doesn't get any better. And this is speaking as somebody who didn't have his first child until I was 39 years old. Should have started sooner. I'd probably have 4 or 5 of them by now. I'm blessed that I have 2, because most people don't have more than 1 or have 0. And a large part of that is men are afraid of the court system. That if you decide to have a child with a woman and for whatever reason the woman wants to leave and deny you that child, I mean, there's a lot of men being dragged through the system that are having a really hard time with the fact that they can't see their kids, but they're forced to pay. That's a very real threat. It's the economic perception that it costs a lot of money, that it's very difficult to do, that both parents have to work, and then your kids are raised in daycares, which is just another public institution, and it's another substitute for the family that is poor. There's so many worries and concerns. You're effectively dissuaded. And in being dissuaded from having children, we are committing demographic suicide. It's not good. It's just not good. Another thing that came out of the Supreme Court on Friday allowed President Trump's executive order restricting birthright citizenship to go into effect in some areas of the country, blocking judges' ability to halt the president's policies nationwide. The order signed by Trump's first day in office curbs birthright citizenship for children born on U.S. soil if they don't have at least one parent with permanent legal status. This is a crazy thing that I believe is unique to the United States, where two citizens, so my wife and I as Canadian citizens, if she was pregnant, we could go down there and stay in the United States until our kid was born, and the kid automatically becomes an American citizen with all sorts of rights and ramifications, which can provide a door to us becoming citizens as well. It's a really big loophole, let's put it that way, and President Trump has been trying to close that loophole, and again, completely opposed by the advocates for mass illegal immigration into the United States. The same people who oppose voter ID, the same people who oppose common sense on every single front in the United States. I pray every single day that these reforms are successful in the United States and we can actually all live in a world where we can see the results in real time. And that's it for today, as my minivan needs struts and stabilizers, and so we're going to go off and have that fun right now. For those of you who asked for it, I have added crypto options to the donate page on my website. I was hesitant to do it, but we're doing it, and now it's done, so they're there. So avail yourself of that if you are so inclined. And thank you to everybody who supports this effort, and I will see you in the next one.